Welcome, guys and ghouls, to a Halloween week podcast. How we doing, AK?
I like that. Halloween and ghouls.
Gobbledygook? Ghoul?
Oh, you can't hear me?
I can hear you perfectly loud and clear, buddy. I can hear you perfectly loud and clear.
Oh, I thought you said gobbledygook. Like I sounded like gobbledygook.
No, I was just fucking around. How we doing? How was your Halloween, buddy?
Halloween was good. Man, we had the kids trick-or-treating. We had adult cocktails for the adults. It was great. Had a great time.
Loved your costume.
That was the kids' choice. They said I needed to be the Hulk, and the Hulk I was. But the green Hulk, not the orange one.
Good.
It was pretty cool. One of the houses we went to was passing out like lollipops for the kids and Jello shots for the adults. It was wonderful.
That is pretty cool. That's Jello shots for the adults.
They were strong, man. Like, no joke. Like, I haven't had a Jello shot for a while. They're like handing out toothpicks, and our friends are grabbing toothpicks. I'm like, nah. If you spend time in college, you don't need a toothpick for this. You use the tongue.
You know from those good old Sammy frat parties, huh?
Oh yeah, let me a Jello shot. But these were, I mean, you tasted the alcohol. Like, I was impressed. That's why Texas is the best. Kids get candy, we get Jello shots.
I heard they also give out the white candy, too, in Texas during Halloween, too. Is that true?
I did not find any, but our trick-or-treating was done at 7:30 at night, so I'm sure that gets passed out starting at 10 p.m. All right. I'm coming to you live from my makeshift studio. I normally do these recordings in my study, but that is under construction, so I'm coming to you live from the guest room, lounging out on the bed.
You're sounding loud, crisp, and clear right now, so that's good.
All right, very good, very good. I got my friend Trent's here, and I also got myself a special beer tonight. One of those delicious ones that everyone makes fun of me for. It is a melted cookie dough. I don't know what kind of beer it is, though. It doesn't just says cookie dough on it. I'm imagining
cookie
it's
dough,
like a stout of some sort, I would imagine, but it's delicious.
Yeah, it sounds like it'd be pretty disgusting, but I'm glad it's good.
I'm pretty sure most people would find it disgusting. All right. You ready? I got something for you. I like to catch you off guard.
What do we got this week?
All right. Well, first, I have to ask a really important question that is very pertinent to our younger days.
Pertinent.
Are you ready?
Sure.
Are you Team Brittany or are you Team Justin?
I'll probably go with Team Justin.
Really? Are you familiar with her book coming out and all the shit that she like kept inside and really paints Justin in a bad light?
I'm just wondering why she's coming out with it now. Why now? Like, why did this wait so long? Like, are you in need of something now? Are we in need of something?
No.
Cash?
She was under a conservatorship for like 15 years. Because remember when she like shaved her head and took the umbrella and all that stuff? And she was deemed basically not competent to make decisions for herself. So she was under a conservatorship of her dad. And that conservatorship got turned over within the last year. And now she's able to actually like make her own decisions and do stuff. So I think that's why all the information is coming out.
Oh, all right. Well, then, you know what? I'll sway and I'll go with Team Brittany then.
Team Brittany! Justin Timberlake.
I don't have all this information pertaining to this situation.
That's all right. It's all good.
You seem to be all over it, though.
I am all over it. I mean, it shows up in my TikTok all the time. You know, this is how I keep up with the kids these days, the TikToks. I see what shows up. So, all right. But going along the theme of back in the day, we had a request for the intro to be Niles North trivia. So,
wow, special request.
Yeah, this was a request from Rosset from a few weeks ago. I don't forget anything. It's always backed up in my head.
Big request.
All right.
You hear that, people? You take all your considerations into consideration.
Yeah. Anytime you bitch at me, I clock it. I keep a tally. I know. Don't think I don't remember. Anyway, so this is all from memory. All right. So some of this might not be completely accurate, but I think it's very accurate. So that's the preface. So one of my questions has the wrong answer, I apologize ahead of time. But I do not have access to the yearbooks easily. So are you ready? Let's go. Who was our class president?
Class president.
Her name was mentioned as the class president within the group thread as of like a week or two ago.
I'm going to probably go with, Sarah Choi.
Ding, ding, ding. That is correct.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
All right.
Woo! Deep in the doldrums.
That was good. Now, who's the class vice president?
Eesh, that gets tougher. It's the last name. Will you give me a clue? Is the last name also Choi? Choi squared. I would have maybe guessed Jenny Choi. No, but I'm going to think of, I really am not sure, but Jessica Cohen?
No, she definitely was not the vice president. I'm like 90% sure it was Seema.
Oh, Seema. That was going to be my next guess. Yeah, I thought about that right there. Yeah.
So Seema. I think that was... All right.
Tits of a champion's champion. See if that's Seema Mattel.
So, yeah. Let's see how good your memory is on this one, all right? This one's going to be particularly for you because you and I were in the same physics class together.
That's right. All right?
So, I'll give you a couple. I'll give you one easier one to start with. What was the name of the physics teacher?
We all know Mr. Musla.
Ding, 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 ding. Ding, you got that correct. Now, can you remember the name of the three kids in the class that were heads and tails above everyone else whenever it came to physics? Like, they always knew what was going on, and the rest of the class, like, we just didn't understand it at all. Can you name those three guys I'm thinking of?
Well, that's insane. That's not, you think I was paying attention to that? I was paying attention to fucking Holly Tarsha, so I wanted to bang the shit out of it. It was, like, sitting in front of me every day there. I don't know. The only thing I remember about that class was I remember Peter Vitale was in it with us and Holly Tarsus was in it and you, and that's kind of all I remember. And the fact that Mr. Muscle would always talk about me, like following me to like Jacqueline's house. Cause see, I don't know, he like his girlfriend lived across the street or something. I forgot what it was, but he was always talking to me about that. But anyway,
yeah, looking back on it, that's creepy as fuck. Like, what the hell?
Well, he asked me. He's like, oh, is your car the white Jeep Honda Accord? And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? He's like, oh, I've seen you parked across the street from where my girlfriend lived. I'm like, what? Anyway, honestly, dude, I have no idea. I'm gonna go with like smart people like Samuel Gandhi, just random people that I know. I guess Samuel Gandhi, Charles Yohannan, and you.
No.
What's the answer to this one? I have no fucking clue.
Wait a minute. I don't remember Peter Vitale being in that class.
I'm pretty sure he was. I'm pretty 99% sure about that.
Wasn't it in a junior level class though?
Yeah, but there was seniors who were in that class too. I remember because it was an AP class.
No, this was regular physics.
I don't know. Well, maybe I'm confusing.
Or honors physics or whatever the fuck it was. I don't know. It wasn't AP physics because AP physics would have been senior AP class. AP sciences were senior year because you could choose if you can do biochem or physics. Okay, anyway, the names are John Cherick, Stephen Kempf, and Brandon Morgan.
Brandon Morgan, yeah. How could you forget Brandon Morgan? Yeah, the simpleton of simpletons, but he was a very smart guy.
Very smart guy. All right. Let's go over to the sports side. Of Niles North. How many Niles North football quarterbacks can you name?
Obviously, we all know the classic Mehdi Movafa, the Kurt Kittner of the or Kurt Warner of the Niles North League. his replacement when he got hurt, who did not fare as well as him, is good old Joe Neguse.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the Cordo Stewart, I guess. And then after those two, Peter Vitale, I know, was a quarterback at one point in time.
Very good.
And then I think that's about all I know. I think Rossett may have subbed in for quarterback.
Yes. Rossett, if I remember correctly, I think was the freshman team quarterback, I believe.
That's pretty good. Four's pretty solid. I like that. And I can tell you that at one point in time, our running back was Rakok, your favorite athlete of all time in Niles North.
He was one of the more talented players on our Niles North football team. The only other one that I can – those are all the names I knew, and then I was just thinking of the – did Ross Niehaus play quarterback potentially? I don't remember.
Maybe. That's good. The four is pretty good for each of us.
That was very good. That was very good. Now, here comes the – here. This is going to test your knowledge. What was the name of the person on the team that took a low blow to Mehdi's leg and knocked him out varsity blues style so that the entire season was lost when he was – Niles North, great purple hope of, scoring some touchdowns by the air.
Oof, yeah, I don't remember. Was it Neguse trying to get the starting job?
I want to say it was a guy was the same year as Mehdi. I believe it was his name was Bernard.
So you don't even know the answer, and you're asking me the fucking trivia question, Bernard? How the fuck am I supposed to know?
Cause
some guy named Bernard.
I don't remember Bernard's last name. I know who the person is. If I remember correctly, I think he was a lefty playing soccer as well. He was really fast, and I'm pretty sure it was him because I remember being at Mehdi's place playing pool in the basement. And talking about it, him being really pissed at him for like going all out on their quarterback. But we'll see if Mehdi. We'll find out because if Mehdi actually listens to this, he'll let us know the answer. All right, another good one. I forgot this question to go along with the who is our valedictorian.
I don't know, Brandon Morgan or Samuel Gandhi.
So it's either it was Samuel Gandhi or Yulia Gorlina. I forgot which one won out.
I know there were some
cheating scandals, things along that, but it was one of those two. So you get 50.
Did you bang Yulia?
No.
I'm getting confused. Julia.
I only had eyes for one girl in high school, That worked out well. Oh,
do you think
next.
Julia? Do you think? No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I don't want
to. No, I was going to say something kind of raunchy, and you know, you definitely might be listening to this. So let's
keep rolling. Right. We got to keep it PG for the first 30 minutes, and then we can get raunchy with the. Okay, where was I going? Oh, we'll see. Let's see how well you'll know this. Can you name the starting lineup for the freshman B team basketball team? I'm going to give you a hint. No, not going to give you a hint yet. I'll give you a hint in a second. See if you can name any without the hint.
The freshman B team?
B team, yes. There's this reason why I'm choosing the B team.
Well, it's got to involve some of our friends. I mean, I really have no idea, so I'm just going to guess. I'm going to go with Turbin, Flocken, Fiala. am I close? Am I on track?
Two out of those three are correct.
I don't know anybody else. I mean, did Johnny think Jeff played basketball? You? Did you play basketball? You didn't play basketball. I have no idea. I'm going to guess you and Evelino Cortez.
All right. Not bad. Not bad at all. So Jarrett was actually on the freshman A team.
Oh, too good.
Yep. The B team for most of the year, the starting lineup, our point guard was Zelig. How'd you forget Zelig, buddy?
Zelig.
Then Plotkin, me, Fiala, and your best bud in the world, Brent.
Oh, the white man.
Yeah. You had a connection. You had a connection to all of them.
Yeah.
That was a layup. All right. Final question. This one is specifically for you. Only you and me, and maybe one other person knows this answer. What was the name of the English teacher who kept throwing you out of the classroom for never reading the book, but you still ended up with a better grade in English than me? Go.
I got thrown out several times because I never read any books. Unfortunately, that didn't pay off in college. Obviously, as you know, reading is good. Kids, reading is good. Make sure you read. Do not read Cliff Notes and get by with Cliff Notes to get good grades. You can skate by, but it doesn't work out for the long term. But
I didn't realize that we were reaching out to the youth of America in this podcast.
In case he's deaf, right before he's about to go to bed here in a minute. Although what do you mean? They can listen to this at any time. What do you mean? There's no time limit when they listen to this. You can listen to the whole thing anyway. The answer to your question, sir.
Why are you answering your own question?
The answer to your question is Miss Ingram. With good old long ponytail, horsehair Miss Ingram. Yeah, she's. I got thrown out, I think, maybe like three or four times senior year out of that class.
Dude, she must have had like the biggest crush on you because like literally, like she would just like. Okay, Coach, did you read the book? Of course not. Go upstairs. And then you always say it so nicely. I felt like, I don't know.
Well, she was a swimming coach, and I did swimming. I did swimming, like, I think with Tony, like, junior year and part of senior year, and I was terrible at it, but, like, so maybe she had, like, a little bit of leniency because of that, possibly. But, yeah, but she punished me, though, in swim class, too. She made me do, like, 500s during practice because sometimes I'd miss. One time Tony and I skipped out on practice to go to McDonald's. We got punished pretty severely for that.
You skipped out on practice to go McDonald's. Oh, man.
Good trivia.
All right, that's the trivia I got on top of my head. Ross, that one's for you, buddy. You asked for it. You got
it. Enjoy it, Jeff. Hope you enjoyed it.
All right. Let's get into the week that was. There's actually some very good matchups that happened. A lot to really like digest here. So I feel like the most unimportant, well, let's just say the saddest one was yours and Fiala's matchup.
No, that was important. It was important. Fiala had
no,
a
I
chance,
didn't say,
to get back into it.
I changed my words. I said everything was important, but it was the saddest one as far as points scored and yada, yada, yada.
What do you mean? We fucking rocked it. We fucking scored a collective 195 points, man. It's pretty sad.
Yeah, you keep telling yourself that.
What do you got to say about our matchup, buddy? What do you think? What do you think about it?
I mean,
you picked me to lose, by the way. You picked me to lose.
I did pick you to lose. But you pulled it out, you know? I thought that Fiala's team had some better matchups. I thought that, you know, unfortunately, I think that, you know, Kirk Cousins getting hurt. Well, I guess he played most of the game, so that shouldn't really affect it. Yeah, your team just came up as playing better, bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, look, Fiala's, like, had some pieces. I mean, the biggest downfall for Fiala's team has been Davante Adams. I mean, you spend that much on a player. That player of that caliber has to perform better, and it's not his fault. I mean, he's not getting good balls thrown to him. And, I mean, Fiala's got some other pieces, but once again, you know, this time, you know, he played Miles Sanders, and he did the same thing for him when he played him when he was inactive and got squat douche, big goosack, and he was active in this game. So, I mean, you know, I think at this point, Fiala's probably going to be a seller after this week. Two brutal injuries to lose both your fucking starting quarterbacks. Pretty brutal.
Yeah.
So you got a feel for him on that. But, yeah, I think at this point, Fiala's obviously a seller. He's got some pieces he can sell off, like St. Brown. He could be a keeper still, I think, next year. And, yeah, you know, that's kind of the story. I got fortunate and lucky to win. And, you know, if it wasn't for that ball at the end of the game for the Davante Adams, if that was a good ball and caught, it would have been a different story coming into this week right now. So,
yeah. To have both your, like, you know, quarterbacks go out to the same injury when, you know, quarterbacks getting knocked out for the entire season is usually a rarity. But to have happen to both your quarterbacks, like, it's just not your year, the bottom line. I mean, he's not going to sell St. Brown because St. Brown's his keeper and it's looking like a great keeper, so he ain't going to sell that.
We'll have to trade Davante if he has a big game, but now's not the time.
I know, and it's hard, you know. Don't get me started on the Raiders situation. I watched that whole game. It was pathetic. We all know what happened for me during that game. So, you know, it was just a rough week for your stud in Cooper Kupp. James Cook is going the wrong way, and they just brought Uncle Lenny over there too. So
the whole team's going the wrong way, buddy. But anyway, we'll see what happens.
What, your team or the Bills?
No, my team. What do you mean? The whole unit altogether is going the wrong way. But
yeah, but the thing is, like, I think, you know, I think you're going to be in a slump with Cooper Kupp not doing much right now. But, you know, Stafford's injury isn't very serious. He'll be back probably week 11. And then, you know, Cooper Kupp was going to, you know, do his thing and get you 15, 20 points a game. And that, you know, if Cooper Kupp gets 10, 12 more points like he normally would, you know, you're at a decent amount of points that you would expect. So that's the biggest thing. And I mean, Kenny Pickett is the anchor around your team too, though.
Anyway, at least we got the win and the standings tighten up a little bit. And we pull ourselves a little bit away from the bottom three. So.
All right. Next up, we'll go. This was a important matchup of Medi versus Turbin. Turbin keeps his playoff hopes alive. I mean, this is what this is the amount of points we expected a team to score kind of all year. And it looks like Burrow and was doing, you know, back to his usual self. Looks like he wasn't, you know, he was able to run. He rushed for, I think, 40 yards. Making throws, leaving the pocket, he might be back to almost close to 100%. If that's the case, this turns this team around because he's been pretty much garbage this entire time. So, Turbin's team could be getting hot right when he needs to. And Medi, like, you know, he put up respectable numbers. He got 132, just went up with someone who put up more points. Medi's team continues to, like, piece it together with, you know, players that you would think would just be kind of average, but are putting up, like, top-tier numbers. So it's it just keeps going.
Yeah, this was a definite down to the wire matchup. I mean, I'm sure you're watching the game obviously as well. And I mean, it came down to the wire. I mean, Goff threw that pass at the end of the game to Laporta, and he dropped it. And if you would have caught that, that would have easily been a touchdown, and we'd be talking a different story right now. So yeah, it was a lucky turn. Finally got lucky. Obviously, you know, Medi got unlucky for one of the first times this season, and Turb gets a huge win. I mean, season-saving win. He stays within striking distance of you. You know, Turb's team, like you said, finally performed. I mean, if they could perform like this and put up points like this, he definitely has a shot to rally. And Medi on the other end, yeah, still doing well. I mean, the hot piece for Medi's team is Kamara, which really pisses me off because for those of you who don't know who listen to this podcast, he was on my team for many, many, many years as a keeper, disappointed many, many, many years in a row, and got all his fucking touchdowns vultured. And now he's scoring left and right. But, hey, good for Mova. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's a big one for Turb, and Mova's still right where he needs to be at the second position.
I, too, am bitter. I had Kamara in multiple leagues last year. Boy, was he a fucking disappointment. And
yeah, he sucked.
And then this year, completely different. It's like as soon as he came back from suspension, it's like we're just going to give him the ball. Like, yep. Everything. For running back, like what the fuck is that? But whatever. Who cares? All right. Next, the upset of the year.
Woo dog.
Middle class men taking down Rossett's team. And this is without, there were no buys this week. His team put up a stinker, like 113. Jeez. It's basically because Patrick Mahomes couldn't do anything because he had the flu. So that sunk his team, essentially. Everyone else did well. No, and his receivers were garbage too this week too. So.
And he left. I mean, he left Hopkins on the bench. I mean, I don't blame him for that because you know what's going to happen with that, obviously, with that hurt. And Justin got, a little exposed in some ways. I mean, but you know, it was Tony tight glutes. I mean, season saving win in some ways. I mean, he's still hanging around. But 1 point, definite super low scoring close win. But you know, I kind of consider this like this correlates to me just like the Chiefs, like. They always have one game a year where they have a dud game or they just can't get it going. I know he had the flu. They couldn't get it going. Kind of the same for Jeff's team. Like, you know, every fantasy team has one game where they have a dud. So I feel like this is Jeff's dud game. And, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, he's still going to be in first place. So, you know, but hey, Tony, good for Tony. A huge upset win and, you know, fun to see.
Yeah, but it, you know, Medi's within one game of him. So, there's not much room for error potentially, you know. So,
and not to foreshadow too much, but when we talk, we got the upcoming matchups coming up. We got a big divisional matchup coming up for the first place lead between those two.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. The matchups keep getting juicier as we go on. But you know, Weitzman's team pulls out the win, but still only 114 points. You know, potentially losing Darren Waller for a few weeks. Kenneth Walker not looking as bright as he did at the beginning. So, although he did play Cleveland, but
Breece Hall's been good though. Breece Hall's been really good. It's some good trade.
Seriously, like I did not expect this at all. And I mean, he's literally the only person who can score a touchdown on that team. So, there's not much to say. He's just fucking amazing. All right. Grant's team gets a win, takes down
Rossett's
you know, the Jaguars put up some points. But he went up against Grant's team, which is, you know, potentially turning a corner. Jahmyr Gibbs coming back, coming alive. Like, is Jahmyr Gibbs going to earn a lot? I assume he's earned more playing time when Montgomery comes back and Jonathan Taylor coming back. Could Grant squeak into the playoffs? His team might be getting strong at the right time. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you know, must have been some good luck to have E. Deppen on the podcast last week for G, as G. E. Deppen scores a big win with a good point total. I mean, 144. Team finally shows up. CeeDee Lamb finally shows up with a huge game. The dormant Devontae Smith finally wakes up. And, yeah, man, I mean, you know, there's some pieces on Grant's team. I mean, you know, he's underperformed all season, but is it too little too late? Possibly. I mean, the biggest problem with Grant's team, as we all know, is the quarterback room. I mean, you got just a little bit of weak sauce there, but definitely some pieces there. And, you know, as far as Team Roar goes, they definitely roared as loud as they could. And, you know, the problem, though, when you got three Roars all on the same Roar, unfortunately, you're not going to roar too much. And he got the three Jaguar players collectively got 54 points for him. And they had a pretty decent game. I mean, you know, Etienne had a big game, but I mean, still 54 from three players is not that great. That's why you can't have three players from the same team. And Calvin Ridley obviously has just not been good. I mean, I was shocked in G League that nobody even wanted Calvin Ridley. I think Turb scoops him up for free. So that goes to show you what people think about him right now. But yeah, I mean, for Team Rar, just kind of unlucky, scored a decent point total, ran into a tougher team, and unfortunately, he might be in some trouble.
Yeah. You know, Aaron Jones is going to play him.
They're playing AJ Dillon a lot,
and AJ Dillon is just not as good as him. Good finding Sam Howell. I mean, Washington's not very good. I mean, if he's going to get.
He's hit or miss, though. Sometimes he had a game where he. Yeah, but he also had a game where he had, like, minus 0.5, so it's not like he's kind of hit or miss. But he could be good, yes.
As of late, it seems like it's been a lot more. I know the whole season has been up and down for him, but, you know, it's – you know, if he's just going to keep slinging it like that, it's not a bad find. Then
this was the – for first place, and
Meetle is just
what
over is he into tie or first? Yeah, you know, technically first place. Probably got. Damn, man! Like, I gotta eat all my words that I was talking.
First in the division, like
Jesus. 178 points, man.
I called it 3 weeks ago. I remember I was looking at his team and how well he's performing, and I told you guys, like, watch out for Mito's team. He's the up-and-coming team, and he's just taking over all of a sudden. I mean, he's fucking super hot. I mean, you want to talk about a different, you know, compared to Rahr, who's got three players and a shitty team. Mito's got two players and a really good offense in Mostert and Waddle. Collectively got him 46 points. I mean, that's huge. I mean, anytime you can get an average of 20 points a player from on the same team, and that's what he's been getting all season. That's fucking great. A.J. Brown, 100, the first player in the history of the NFL to go six straight games with 125 yards at minimum in each game. I mean, it's fucking been disgustingly good. So, yeah, Mito's team, man, just kind of hitting stride right now when they need to, and he's got a lot of depth right now. I mean, his team's looking pretty good. And he's making moves. I mean, he's making the right moves. And on top of it, we thought he wasn't going to have Dobbs anymore. Now Dobbs is going to be the starter for Minnesota.
Yes.
I mean, it's like he's got another starting quarterback all of a sudden. I mean,
I couldn't believe
it. I mean, it's like, yeah.
That's insane. Crazy. Like, I could not believe that happened. Where it was like, all of a sudden, watching the
optics, like, all of a sudden,
I was like, oh, we're starting Clayton Tune this week. I'm like, what? What happened? I was like, of course, in this day, you take a out of the lineup right away.
Need to.
No, they had trade going. And, I mean, it's a win. You know what? You know who else really benefits from that trade is you, buddy. Because
if Jefferson didn't make that trade, I mean,
he's coming back now. Because if they didn't make this trade, they're having to deal with Sean Marion, this guy, this third string who like fumbled the ball right when he got it. And Nick Mullins, who's on IR, like that's all they got. And if that's all they're get, if they're going to lose all the games, Jefferson's going to take his sweet time. But they're 4-4. They're right in the wild card hunt. They've got a very capable quarterback coming in. Jefferson's going to come back when he's ready to come back. He's not going to take his time. So that benefits you. And by proxy, benefits me in a couple of leagues that I have him. So
it would have been a great spot. Would have been a great spot for Tom Brady to come back, huh?
That's, yeah, but, you know, that's a you know, I have not heard his name floated around anywhere, which is surprising.
Yeah, he's not coming back. But just really quickly on the other end of the matchup, you know, we've been saying it for weeks about Plockenstein, how he's been running into mediocre competition, kind of beating up on mediocrity. Putting up, and he did it. You know, he puts up like about 120 this week. I think he put up 118, and he ran into a buzzsaw. And I mean, that's kind of where I feel like Hawkins' running backs right now are just really hurting his team. And I mean, I think if he really legitimately wants to have a chance the rest of the season, Stevens is in a bust. And I think he probably needs to, as much as he would hate to do it, trade Tyreek for like a big package and get some running back help back. I mean, even though Tyreek's a great player, but yeah, I just think those running backs aren't going to get you a championship, unfortunately.
Yeah, you. What are you gonna get of equal? What are you gonna get that's gonna equal Tyreek Hill? Like you're gonna get. But then why trade him?
Well, you could get a running back, like a good running back, and another decent receiver back, probably to fill the void for receiver.
Yeah, but who's making? No one's making that trade.
You never know. You never know.
He has to spend draft dollars. That's what he has to do.
I know Edep, and I can tell you Edep is looking to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. That's pretty, you know, pretty fair deal right there.
Noodle arm Jimmy. Fucking God, I saw a comparison on social media, basically comparing like the first like five games of his Raiders career to the first five games of Jamarcus Russell, and the numbers were comparable. I was like, that's yeah. All right, and then, you know, very important matchup here between me and Myers.
Matchup of the Dobbins horse.
That's right. One horde too much and got left at the street corner. That's where's my Dobbins. I mean, it was close. I remember I got out to a big lead, and then what happened? Oh, Gus Edwards. Fucking Gus Edwards, man.
I called that last week. I told you. I told you that. Didn't I call that? I told you he's going to have a monster game.
Yeah, you did. And touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. And even through all that, I had survived. It was I was like, still had a good buffer. Then very late
Edwards
in the
finally
game.
Showed up.
But then late in the Arizona game, Marquise Brown scores a touchdown. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, just keeps piling on. But then, yes, I was watching the Bears Chargers game, and I was rooting for just the Chargers to just score points. I could give two fucks about the Bears season. I was like, Eckler, Keenan, just keep piling up the points. I need this win. And unlike when I was watching the game Monday night, I walked away from this one feeling pretty, pretty happy.
Yeah, the Dobbins whores went out whoring online, and, you know, Dr. Dance was able to survive and stay out a little bit longer. And, yeah, it was a really, really close matchup, man. I mean, you know, I think you won by, like, 4 points. I mean, it definitely came down to the wire. But, you know, tough loss for Danny Boy. Quarterback room still hurting Danny Boy's team. But, you know, he's got pieces. I mean, Addison's having a really, really good year and is really playing really well. But on your end, you know, the bottom line is, if we keep saying, Eckler finally showed up. I mean, he had a pretty solid game. Wasn't great, but it was really good. And, you know, that's kind of what you need. And just a big win to keep yourself, especially with Turbin winning, to keep yourself pushed away from the competition and to push Danny Boy down a few notches.
Yeah. And so we look at the standings now in your division. I mean, it's a clear delineation. You got the top three teams and the bottom three teams. It's going to be hard for any of those teams to overcome. I mean, you're technically third, but you're only 1 point behind the other two teams. So it's going to be hard for them to overcome that.
I agree.
And then in the other division, you know, you got Rossett and Medi were pretty much guaranteed the playoffs. I extended my cushion by, I got three games ahead. So got a little bit of a cushion. You know, we got, what, 5 weeks left. If I can win two of those, it should be smooth sailing. All right, let's go to the matchups. Dum, bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, before, just really quick, though, let's just mention really quick, acquisitions for this week. Big pickup by Medi, scooping up Will Levis. We don't know if he's going to be a full-time starter, but I definitely wanted him and tried to bid a lot on him. So that was a really good scoop. Yeah, just wanted to mention that.
Medi adding to his quarterback room, you know?
He loves his QBs.
He does. I mean, but I don't have his lineup up right now, but I imagine the rest of his depth has to be minimal then if he's got two QBs, three QBs on his bench.
Yeah. That's I would have to imagine that as well.
Let me bring it up real quick.
Maybe he's looking to make a deal. Maybe he's looking to spark a little controversy. A little Mola.
He's got three quarterbacks on his bench, which just leaves room for one running back and one wide receiver. You know, hopefully everyone stays healthy, but.
And another acquisition mentioned from last week, I forgot to mention this, great pickup by you with Kincaid. Had a big week for you. That was huge. I mean, you might be filling your tight end spot right there, which would be huge for you, by the way, too. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping that he's consistent. With maybe Dak coming on, Tua continuing to be hot, like, watch out. Just watch out.
And I overspent this week on Taysom Hill, but I kind of really like him. He's coming on a little bit. Two touchdowns last week. I like him.
We'll see. So I feel like it's always a gamble to have him in the lineup.
All right, let's get to the matchups, buddy.
Matchups. All right. First matchup, we got let's not do that one. Sorry. This will be an interesting matchup. Myers versus Turbin. They're both at 5-11. You know, the winner of this, you know, has, you know, the edge over the other one as far as trying to jump into the playoffs. So this is a big matchup, you know. I feel like loser of this might be too big a hole to climb out of to have any chance of getting in the playoffs. Losing my train of thought.
Yeah, it's gonna be a big matchup. I mean, obviously, yes, the loser pretty much is out at this point of the season. Turb's projected to win again. I mean, he's projected again for like mid-130s. Daniels, I think, is projected for more like in the 115 range. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm probably going to have to go with Turb here. I mean, he just has more pieces right now, I feel like, and should be able to get the win. But we know the story on Turb's team all season, and Daniel can easily win this. But I think Turb gets a big win and keeps the pressure on you.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think – it doesn't seem like Fields is coming back this week, so it's stuck with Tyson Bagent, which hurts. And I know that the Bengals are playing the Bills, but They looked pretty good last week, so I feel like those two will be solid pieces. Both of them have players that are inconsistent. Jordan Addison would be great, but I think doesn't sound like Joshua Dobbs is going to play this week, and if he does, he's not going to know the playbook very well. So they're stuck with, I think, Jaren Hall, which I don't think there's going to be much in the passing game there, so that hurts there too. So I think a little bit more consistency on Turb's side. Turbin for the win. All right, two teams coming off two completely different performances. Grant with the huge 140-point victory win versus Plotkin, 118 points loss. Any major buys? Oh, yes. Grant doesn't get Gibbs this week. And the placement's not going to be very good. So that's going to hurt big time. Looks like...
Yeah, two wins in a row by G. I mean, you know, but I think that luck runs out a little bit here. Plotkin gets his usual mediocre competition win. Probably wins like 120 to like 95 or something.
Yeah, no major players on a bye for him. That's going to hurt. That will hurt. Plotkin, I think Plotkin gets the win. All right. Mitel and Fiala. You know, Fiala's going to start getting the – Fiala's going to get the treatment that I gave Weitzman's team at the beginning of the year. Sorry. You lost Kirk Cousins. Your only quarterback is Zach Wilson. Like, that's not even a quarterback. You're done. Sorry.
Sorry, Fiala. We love you, Fiala. You're a good, great guy.
Yeah. Like, I think Mitel can just start, like, A.J. Brown and Josh Allen, and he'll win.
Pretty much a guaranteed 3 victory points from Mitel this week. He'll get high. He'll definitely be in the higher points here.
Yeah. Watch Mitel lose now.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Nah, Mitel will probably win. I agree with you.
All right. A very important matchup in my division. Top two teams going at it as far as Rossett and Medi. I think what's going to come down to is anybody have a major person on bye?
Yup, Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, Christian McCaffrey on bye.
And I'm going to step out on a limb right now. I'm calling a big upset here. I think Mova overtakes first place with an upset win and squeaks by Jeff 147 to 145.
Interesting.
McCaffrey being hurt. Granted, the Chiefs are going to come out like rock stars this week. Don't worry about that. I mean, the Chiefs are going to rock and roll this week. But I think McCaffrey being hurt really hurts him. And
I mean, being on bye.
Yeah, sorry. That's what I meant. Yeah, my bad.
We don't do fringes.
And I would never. Whenever fringes. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's a huge divisional lead matchup, division on the line. And I think Mova shocked the world here and pulled it out.
I'm going the other way. I think.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah, I. Your quarterbacks are Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. Like, I going up against Hurts and Mahomes. I think that a huge landslide, in favor of Rossett there. I think that's enough by itself to take the victory. So yeah, I think Rossett walks away, remains in first place all by himself. Let's see. Then there is me versus Weitzman. And any major buy stuff? Oh, he doesn't have his defense in yet.
Weitzman's been playing people tough, but I think you're.
I like my chances. Tough.
Yeah.
So I think
your team's starting to hit stride.
We'll see. We had big stride before, went through a slump. We'll see if we're back or if we're just gonna go on the bumpy the bumpy roller coaster the whole time. And finally, that leaves you against
Yeah, Rawr is going to be squealing pretty hard this week because they're missing the whole Rawr team's going to be on bye. I was thinking about blocking him at quarterback today, but I didn't have enough guys to drop. I was going to pick up P.J. Walker to block him, but then he picked up P.J. Walker. So, but I did pick up Heinicke at least to block him from that because August Heinicke is starting for Atlanta.
But, hey, Heinicke could be a decent play too. You know, like I had him as a quarterback.
That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean he's clearly not, you know, the best NFL quarterback. From a fantasy perspective, he can put up numbers. And Atlanta's got decent weapons to throw to. So, yeah, I think it's not a bad pickup pickup in play, actually, as opposed to just blocking him with it. So,
yeah. Well, anyway, but he did pick up P.J. Walker, so he's going to be starting him. And he's playing against Arizona. It's not a terrible matchup. Is Deshaun Watson just done now? What's going on with that? Is he, like, just finished?
I have no idea.
His arm got tired. Is that he has arm fatigue, so he can't throw anymore. It's ridiculous.
But
anyway, going back to the matchup, we all know that I never picked for myself. So somehow, some way, even with Rawr not being Rawr this week, missing all his fucking Rawr players, I think that Bassinger somehow beats my team in some unlucky fashion somehow to get himself back in the playoff hunt. I don't know how, as he should lose pretty heavily this week, but that's my prediction.
No one's taking you serious. You can't honestly believe that. So, like, like you said, like three of his key players are on bye. I mean, he's got PJ Walker, Tajay Spears, Tyler Boyd in his lineup. Okay.
Tajay's gonna have a week of a lifetime.
I mean, it's possible. It's possible. Like, stranger things have happened. PJ Walker could, you know, who'd they play in Arizona? It's decent.
Yeah, he could have a big game.
He could have 300, you know, passing yards, 100 running yard, rushing yards, and four total touchdowns. But it's unlikely.
That's brutal. You know,
Tajay Spears, like, yeah, he could rush for 100 yards and a touchdown, but it's not likely. And Tyler Boyd could get like 7 catches for 125 yards potentially. But let's be real, the 3 of them combined are going to score 9.9 points. Okay. Like, it's going to be okay.
Rawr. But hey, at least Rawr is trying and filling up his lineup. You know, good effort.
Hey,
Rawr.
Hey. We don't accept losers, all right? We don't accept losers. We want winners. Everyone's got to play.
We want lineup setters.
All right. Should we end the time with some comments on the G League?
Yeah, okay. Turbin was Turb was putting some pressure on. He wanted a G League intro segment, by the way. I don't know if you saw that on GroupMe. I just saw that now. But yeah, you know, I mean, you know, I'll let you say what you want to say about yourself, but we're sorry. You know, you're obviously the creator and, you know, the one who started the league. So we all appreciate the efforts, obviously. Sorry that you had to get knocked out, but at least you made it, you know, like more than halfway through the season. That's incredible.
No, it's not. It's fucking pathetic, but it's okay. Like, you win some, you lose some. Like, the frustrating thing is that, like, it really, like, a pretty good team, and it just, you know, there was a good amount of fantasy points being scored for lots of players, you know, it's how it happens. You know, unlike season long where you're afforded a dud here and there, you have a dud, you out. And that's how it goes. And fuck Josh McDaniels and Jimmy G. Like, what the fuck, man? Barely, like, 100 yards passing the whole time. Ugh.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was bad luck. I mean, going into the night, you know, of the three insiders, I mean, you definitely were like the biggest favorite to hang on. I mean, Jacoby Myers, if you look at his stat line, had like fucking at least five receptions every game with like
I know.
70 yards and a touchdown. He had like touchdowns like in three straight games, I think. So yeah, it was pretty unbelievable. Bad luck. But like you said, I mean, that's G League. That's what makes it tough, is that like you can be all the great players, you can have the best roster, but any given week you can get knocked out. I mean, some of the shittiest roster can survive week by week and make it to the end. You never know. Like my team.
Yep. It's, you know what? I'm still going to, you know, follow. Obviously, I still have to follow along because I still like to send out updated emails, even though I don't know if anyone reads them or even, you know, wants them still. But I'm going to do it anyway. But it's just fun to see how it all plays out. Who's going to come down to the end?
Yeah, and what makes it tough is, like, you know, because it seems like the strategy would be to save your money. Because, like, you made a comment the other day saying, like, oh, you know, at the end, like, people are going to have huge players pop up from all these teams getting eliminated with, like, the last Final Four or Final Five or whatever. But at the same token, like, look at my situation. If I didn't spend money on Jalen Hurts, I would have been knocked out already because I had Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it goes both ways. I mean, it's hard to know exactly which route to go, but, you know.
Exactly. And you're walking a fine line right there, you know? It's like, just like, you know, Josh did it like exactly how I would like to do it, and which I did in my other league too, where if your team is, you know, in the top, you know, 2/3 of the league, if your team is not bad enough to be like living on the lifeline, shout out Flock and Seen them, then you don't have to necessarily spend big to improve your roster. You can make little pickups here and there, put in a little bit of money here and there. And then when a stud comes along, then you go, and if you still have some of those money left, you can bet big to get them on your team, bolster your team. But there's luck involved with that too. It's injuries can easily derail a team. Bye weeks is another thing that can completely derail a team. Like when you're drafting, you're not looking to see when their bye weeks are. Like, and if you have two or three key players on bye, and there's not much to pick up, you're sucked. You're fucked.
Yep. Well, we're sorry you got knocked out, buddy. Thanks for still paying attention and sending us your update emails. And you know, it's all good. We're all rooting for you next year. And you won the title in our league last year, so we can't feel too bad for you.
You don't have to feel bad for me. It's all good fun. There can only be one, just like in Highlander.
Well, as always, it's been great. Good luck to everybody this week.
Till the next time.
Peace out.
Bye.